All right, let's continue our teaching on walking in the Spirit. Like we're reading from the New American Standard, Walking by the Spirit. Let's just take that text of the scriptures that we've been using again and again. The book of Galatians chapter 5. We've been starting from verse 13, and that's where we're going to start reading from again. It says, "For you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word." And that's in the statement, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." He said, "But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. But I say to you," verse 16 now, "walk by the Spirit," or your Bible may say, "walk in the Spirit." Same thing he's saying, but I'll just go with this translation, which is the one I use regularly, the New American Standard. He said, "Walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit," which is the same thing he said in verse 16, "that walk by that Spirit, you are not under the law." That is, you will discover that your deeds, all right, are not forbidden by the law. That's one of the things you can deduce from that, all right? "Now, the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity." And it lists a lot of things. For time's sake, let me just jump down to verse 21. He listed all those things and said, "Of which I forewarned you, just as I've forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not experience the manifestation of heaven on earth." I'm interpreting that now. What he said, that they will not inherit the kingdom of God. "But this fruit," singular, "of the Spirit," verse 22, "is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things," he says, "there is no law." Now, let me just leave that, all right, and quickly go down to verse chapter 6. If you read in verse 6, it said, "The one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows," this is what I really want, verse 8, "to his own flesh, will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit, will from the Spirit reap eternal life." In answer in verse 9, "Let us not lose heart in doing good. For in due time we will reap, if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity," that is, as a result of the things I've said, "let us do good to all people, especially to those who are of the household of the faith." Now, that's the main portion of the Bible that we have been using to, you know, explain this issue of walking in the Spirit that we've been on for some time now. And like I said last time, I began to round it off last time. I don't know whether I'll finish today or not. Now, let me just summarize something I said last time, and then I'll pick up from there. Just summarize this, that when the Bible says walk by the Spirit or be led by the Spirit, he was not talking about hearing voices. He was not talking about praying until the Holy Spirit begins to lead you the way we describe it as Pentecostals often. We describe it as if when you pray, then the Holy Spirit tells you something. That was not what he meant when he said, "if you are led by the Spirit." Now, let me say what I said last time, in case somebody didn't hear that and is just hearing this particular one. I said, I know such things happen. I believe absolutely that God is alive and is well, and the Holy Spirit is with us today, and he still leads people. I believe totally, all right, that the Holy Spirit gives day by day instructions to people when it is necessary. I am persuaded that God can lead you through special methods. You can dream dreams. The Holy Spirit may whisper to you. He may send an angel. All of these things do happen. But when the Bible said, "Walk by the Spirit," when the Bible said, as many as are led by the Spirit, that was not what Paul was talking about. Paul was emphasizing that everything in life has a motivation. Paul was saying there is something that pushes your life in a direction. And that's the word Spirit, all right, when you look at the Bible very well. When you use the word Spirit, he's saying that when you wake up in the morning, what is the propelling motivation for your life? Why, you know, once I was at the American Embassy, and the visa officer said, of course, I've told the story before, when I showed up with no money in my account, you know, the kind of normally you beef your account before you go, I went with no money, you know, not zero actually, but total of just about 100,000, of which 70,000 was by accident. All right, somebody wanted to send Kingdom Word money, and the person sent to my own account. It was after I printed the statement after, I said, where is this money from? I was not, because I couldn't recognize the name. Finally, I located one brother in my mind that he may be the one, and I called him. He said, yes, he's the one that actually wanted to send the money to Kingdom Word. And I said to him, next time, ask me for Kingdom Word Ministries account, all right? That was my own personal account. So I moved the money to Kingdom Word after that. But the point is that when I was going for the interview, all right, I had, by my own conscious planning, only 30,000 naira. It only went up to 100,000 by accident. That's why I told you that other story. So the lady looked at me and like, this guy can't be serious, you know, that kind of thing. And I said, what more do you want? He said, what other proof do you have for me that you returned to Nigeria? I said, okay, do you want to see my marriage certificate and pictures of my children? And she said, that's where the story is going. He said, I should forget that. You know, like, no, forget that. He said, do you know how many Nigerians? Now, that's the story. She said to me, do you know how many Nigerians abandon their family, their wives and children, and move to the U.S.? I said, I understand. He said, well, any other thing to offer? I said, I'm sorry, I have nothing else to offer you. Of course, she gave me the visa, all right? But the thing was that she made that statement, and that's what I'm talking about. The issue now is that what propels people to move and abandon wife and children, and many of them for years? A whole year will pass, they don't see each other. Thank God for these days that the internet and phone is very easy. But those days, I mean, it was just, you have to write a letter. All right? And people were content to do it. It's a simple thing. There is something that is propelling them. That's the point I'm trying to bring out. And once somebody has a propelling force in his or her life, that thing pushes the person to an extent that you find very hard to believe sometimes. If a man loves money, if a woman loves money, listen, you will be shocked at what they will be willing to do to get that money. For those who practice occultism and all of that, that is why they will gladly satisfy somebody that they love, because the love of money is overwhelming. Are you getting my point? That love of money is called the spirit. Do you follow the point I'm making? There was a time I saw somewhere, I was reading the news, and I saw how Mexican drug dealers were sending drugs now into the U.S. And it was very funny, you know. It was a simple idea. But it was so striking the way they went about it, building giant catapults. You know they call it catapults? Yes. They built some giant ones, very giant, and they will fire the drugs from Mexico across the border into the U.S. where their guys are waiting. Those ones will quickly locate the drug. Maybe they will put some tracing devices inside it. And when I read it, I said, this is very interesting. Why do men think of such things? It's simple. It's called the spirit that's pushing them, the love of money. When the Bible talks about the heart that devises evil, a man will sit down because of the love of money, he starts devising things. As the banks released ATM machines all over the place, and they said, you, the owner of the account, couldn't withdraw more than 100,000. A thief will take 200. Every day, your bank keeps on sending you mails. The bank I use, they keep on inventing new devices to make your transactions secure. Why? Because some people are propelled every day by the love of money. Our business is to emphasize the meaning of the word spirit. It is what is pushing you that's called the spirit. What is pushing you in life? Why are you going back to school to get another degree? Listen, I say this all the time. Actually, it's a proverb from Western Nigeria. He said, if a man is running the afternoon, it's one of two things. Either he's chasing something, Or what? Or something is chasing him. So you can find two people going to work every day. You don't know the reason they are going to work. One man is being pushed by something. The other is being pushed by another thing. Whatever is pushing them is what the Bible calls spirit. Bear that in mind. So it says, the spirit of a man will bear his infirmity. My example that I use to illustrate that all the time is football. If you see footballers, they are strong men. I mean, like, they are very agile. A man is running at a speed that could make him compete in international athletic events in 100 and 200 meters. And then you give him a stud, and he falls over. As soon as he hits the floor, if he checks, and it's still his advantage, you know, like, if he has lost the ball, he will lie down there until the referee blows the whistle. You know, he'll just lie down there, shaking his leg. Then when referee blows, he'll get up, straighten his legs. All right, I'm okay now. Let me take the penalty. You know what I'm saying? But if he still has the advantage, the man will leap up from the floor and continue. Why? It's called the driving force in a man's life. We bear all the stumblings. It will bear all the pain. It's called the spirit of a man will bear his infirmity. If you know what people who box, heavyweight boxers, what punishment they take. I read the story then of Muhammad Ali and George Foreman. The rumble in the jungle. They said after they finished the match, Muhammad Ali was urinating blood for the amount of beating that George Foreman gave him. For the first few rounds, he just stood there and allowed Foreman to beat. Because he said, this man cannot last too many rounds. He's used to winning early. He took all the punishment until he wore the man out. I watched the analysis of the fight once. Somebody slowed it down and showed it to us. When Ali gave him one blow, the amount of sweat that came off George Foreman's, you know, face from the impact of the blow of Muhammad Ali. Yet, Ali took all that beating. All that sweat was generated beating Ali. At the end of the fight, of course, Ali won. Muhammad Ali went to the toilet to go and eat himself. It was blood mixed with urine. What does that mean? Foreman had beaten his kidneys and ruptured them inside. He did not fall down. The spirit of a man will bear the beating. That's what I'm trying to explain. So when people complaining and whining, Nigeria is bad, they have nothing pushing them. They are not starting businesses. They are not starting enterprises. They wake up in the morning, never a second light, never a second light. Some people have gone to where they will generate power. While you are there wondering, I don't know what's going on in this nation. Some people have gone to go and solve the problem. You are getting what I'm explaining. I'm emphasizing the meaning of the word spirit again for us to understand it. Let's now come on to Christianity. So when the Bible says that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, there is a spirit that comes out of God, which is what I want to talk about again today. When we talk about walking in the Spirit, that's what we mean. Walking by that Spirit that comes out of God. And we summarize it over the last few meetings here by reading from the book of Matthew. Let's get back there again. The book of Matthew chapter 22. That's the important thing. And that's why Paul was saying that if you are led by the Spirit, that is, if what is propelling you, that's what I'm trying to emphasize, is that propelling force in your life that we are discussing. What is pushing you? The world, you understand? He said, there are three things that are in the world. There's the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Those are the things that push a lot of people. The lust of the eyes. They want to get something new. They want a new car, want a new airplane, for those who are dealing in those realms. The other day I was watching a video, Fabulous Lifestyles of Filthy Rich Billionaires. That video was about rich people, and they put Puff Daddy's picture there, and they said, millionaires, call us back when you make some real money. That is, then they moved away Puff Daddy and Co. They were not talking about people like you. They're talking about filthy rich people. And when those people want to compete, people like Larry Ellison, Abramovich, they are competing in the length of their boats. Do you understand? Who has the longest boat? The men who compete in that realm, Abramovich, Larry Ellison, this man of Microsoft, not Bill Gates, the other fellow, and what the name of that Arab sheikh? Sheikh something Al Maktoum, those guys who built Burj Arab. Those people are competing on who has the longest boat. He said, one man, we hear that the other fellow has built a boat bigger than his own. And he had commissioned one boat to be built. He will stop the building. They adjust the plans. Your boat cannot be longer than mine. And these are not cheap motor cars. You're talking about $200 million. And men who are billionaires, they are competing. It's called the pride of life. Some people, that's what's pushing them. Why do they want to succeed? Because Chukwu, they have succeeded. And in school, I was smarter than him. Why should it be any more money and doing better than I'm doing in their own esteem of what is better? And that is pushing them. That, you know, the other day, we were talking about who's going to hell. People say that they went to hellfire. No, I don't know. They always put message in my mouth. I don't know these days. You know, I have to answer people's questions. They said that they went to heaven. And they saw that in heaven, no woman has attachment. No woman has earring. They don't use makeup there. All those who had attachment and makeup, they've gone to hellfire. And I laugh. Why they are, number one, flat, straight, is a lie. Now, I've told you, you don't know what some people smoke before they slept. And you wake up in their mind. No, you know, when I say it's like I'm joking. Because some of the things that God used to send people to places, that's what I'm describing. What they call the pride of life. You didn't see, you can't even, you know, those things are in the heart. You are looking at somebody who has earring. The real wickedness. Eh? Somebody will be helping you like this, and God judges as iniquity. Now, why is he helping? Because he said, my neighbor thinks he's a better Christian than me. Let me show him that I'm a better Christian. So he goes out every day preaching the gospel. He goes out every day helping people. And God is marking it against him every day. It's called the pride of life. There are those who preach and God is marking it against them. And Paul told us about them. They say, Paul thinks he's the only one that's called. Is he the only apostle? Now he's in prison. Let us show to him that the gospel will still move, whether he's in prison or he's free. They started organizing programs just because Paul was in jail. The pride of life. Those are the things that are in the world. Ever since my friend went to America, my God, he has sent three cars home. You've not slept well since that time. When you come out, you are feeling like a failure. Nobody is talking to you. Nobody knows where you are, where your friend is. As you're walking on the road, you're feeling like a failure. Meanwhile, the job you have, some people are confessing that job into existence. They've sown seed towards that your job. They will go to church and they are looking at you and say, look at that brother, he's so blessed. In the name of Jesus, I receive that kind of blessing. In the name of Jesus, he sow a seed. Who wants to be blessed today? You come forward right now with 10,000. They are there. It's your job they are believing God for. Yet you are not satisfied again. Why? Because a friend came home last Christmas. My God. And the car he came to the village with. Since that time, you've lost sleep. Pride of life. They didn't see such people in hellfire. The Lord is good. Those are the things that are in the world. The lust of the eyes. The lust of the flesh. The pride of life. I'm describing the word spirit again. These things push a lot of people. Some are studying and studying and studying. So they are pastors starting churches. And God is saying, what is pushing them? Pride of life. There are those who run ministry. You know, I like to always drop something for ministers. Because one of the reasons why I believe the Holy Spirit makes me drop things for ministers is because the major problem many times is what the Bible calls the priests. My people perish for lack of knowledge. He said the major problem is that the priests rejected knowledge. Once they reject knowledge, the whole congregation is scattered. Jesus looked at them and said they were like sheep without shepherd. The major problem was no shepherd. So I always like to drop something for preachers. So that if you're a preacher, if you're called to ministry, you take instruction from these things. There are people who started pastoring churches. Why? Maybe they're on the ministry type I do. Teach some evenings, take invitations, and go about other things maybe during the week. Some wrong ministry, like people like Kenneth Hagin, never started a church. They just be preaching here and there, writing books, distributing materials. And this has been said to me by different people. One said, if you don't have a church, you will not have respect. And I said to him simply, I didn't start this job for respect. I started this ministry to preach, not to earn anybody's respect. I know people, congregations that take titles simply because when they go to government function, the bishop sits on a different role. So if you come with the title bishop, even if you are 12 years old, they'll put you in front. Why? You have the title bishop. So some go back home and say, tell their elders, look, you have to give us titles. Last time we went for state meeting, we were put at the back. So you see small boys looking for title bishop. Why? They want to be important. I'm dropping this for ministers. If you're a minister, stop that nonsense. I'm not fighting your title. If you like, call yourself the Pentecostal Pope. It's your personal problem. It doesn't worry me. There are people who their title is Archbishop of Africa. You know, you wonder which church is Africa. Do you get my point? It doesn't worry me. You can use any title you want. I saw a man on TV say, I'm the bishop of the whole world. I'm serious. And all I did was laugh. Is it bad? No. Is it good? No. What does it matter? It doesn't concern me. I am not the bishop of the whole world. I'm not even the bishop of New Haven. What I'm just saying is that each person, as you are taking your title, make sure you know what is pushing you. Because a lot of times, it's the pride of life. I'm not fighting the title in itself. Because there's nothing on this earth that doesn't have a title that goes with it. So I'm going to say in our church, our pastor, they say it like this. Our general overseer is just a brother. But you call him what? General overseer. I don't know whether you get my point. So our general overseer is just a reverend. Our general overseer is just a pastor. He's not a bishop. He's a humble man. He's a lie. The fact that doesn't have a title, bishop, does not mean he's humble. It just means he doesn't like it. Or you guys did not put it in your organogram. Because the word general overseer in Latin is archbishop. Do you get my point? So you chose an English title. The church down the road chose a Latin title. Two of you are called the same thing. If you are, listen, three things that mean the same. General overseer, archbishop, metropolitan bishop. All of them mean the same thing. It means you are the big boss. And there is nothing wrong with being the big boss. Somebody has to be the big boss. But why are you chasing the title is what I'm describing. That is what the Bible calls spirit. If you're a preacher, you are not allowed to do anything for what you are going to gain as respect, as money. Some will go somewhere and say, my friend who's a pastor, his congregation contributed money and bought him a brand new Prado. Me? They have not done anything like that for me. So afterwards, I started my own church. Why? I'm thinking of my next birthday. So people, as a matter of fact, Christians do. No, it's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. Are you getting my point? I'm not criticizing that. In fact, it's a good thing. Let me quickly tell you my own side. One day, I don't want congregation. One day, one of you looking at it, just say, Pastor, you've been a blessing. You dash me a brand new, is it helicopter now? I don't know. It's not a sign of covetousness, just a sign that you are blessed. And you recognize that was a blessing to you also. In fact, that scripture we read, I didn't discuss. It said, let who's the fellow taught the word share all good things with the fellow teaching him. Let me drop this one for you. The day you go and buy a boat, and you come tell me to dedicate it, this is my dedication. Father, may this engine die. You say, why? I said, why you were buying boats? You didn't know they were selling S-class Mercedes-Benz for me? You know how much boat is? Before I come for this dedication, go and buy my own. How can you be chopping a loan? Are you a Jaguda? There's no English word like Jaguda. I just converted you. And so there's nothing. I'm just going to say there's nothing wrong with it. That's what I'm going to explain. However, A preacher is not allowed to be motivated by that. If you're a preacher, you are not allowed to preach a message that will make people happy so that they will bring money. If you do that, you're in trouble. You preach the truth even if it takes money away from you. You preach the truth even if it dwindles the congregation. Jesus preached the truth once. He said, I'm the bread that came down from heaven. He said to them, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Everybody left church. He said, what happened? He said, our pastor has entered another realm we don't understand. He looked at Peter, are you going to? Peter was confused. You know what he said? If John was still alive, we would have gone. Is that why? No. He said, to whom shall we go? That is the only reason we are staying, is that there is nowhere else to go. After all, he used to be with John. This one you are preaching these days, we are getting confused, but to whom shall we go? But that was when Jesus preached truth. He dropped a hard word. It still has to be preached. I've written books before that, number one, I wrote them years before they were published. And as we were going to press, I was still wondering, should I write this? And my friend Chuck said something which was really what finally helped me answer it. He said, if it is the truth, it has to be told. Did you hear that? He said, if it is the truth, it has to be told. It is not whether it's popular or it is not popular. Is it true? Is it true? When Martin Luther began to preach the gospel of justification by faith, it was not popular. But it's the reason why we are able to preach the gospel the way we preach it today. He had to break away from a norm. He had to break away from that which everybody else was following. So when Chuck said to me, he said, Banky, if it's the truth, it has to be told. If it come out, it won't be popular. But it is the truth. Make sure, now I'm adding words again to it, make sure it is the truth. Study to ensure it's the truth. So I settled down. I wrote a portion of that book 3 times. First time I read it, I said, this is too confrontational. Next time I wrote it, I said, it's true, it's good, but it will not be, a lot of people won't know how to handle it. Finally, the Holy Spirit gave me inspiration. Write it this way. I wrote it that way, and I released it. Let it go. Is the truth? I've left it out there. Not everybody will believe it. Whoever wants to know, he has an opportunity now to know. That is the driving force behind the life of a preacher. Paul said, you must renounce the secret things of dishonesty. You must renounce handling the word of God, all right? You know, with craftiness in your heart. You know, trying to manipulate people to do what may even appear right. They say, after all, why are we doing this? Not because of money to preach the gospel. How, I said to you, is more important than what? He said, enter by the narrow gate. It's how you enter. Which gate did you use? That is what God is more concerned about. I'm dropping this word if you're a preacher. If you want your ministry to endure, please don't do anything for popularity. Don't do anything for gain. Don't. Study to show yourself approved. Literally, take the word of God and study it. Study it so that you have understanding. Study it. Because, you see, I've seen a lot these days. People do things. There's a man, not even one, two. You start preaching things because the only thing I can say that, you know, this draws a crowd. There are people I know, I say, you should know better than this. You come to a large congregation, you start shouting. Ancestral curses, tonight I'm going to break the ancestral curse over your life. Number one reason many of us preachers preach that thing is because it appeals to the hearts of Africans. It draws them. It does. Now, I was thinking, I was in the Bible this afternoon, and people were discussing. I realized that this kind of spirits, they were talking. I started laughing where I was. You know, some people were talking about vampires. He said, there are no vampires in Africa. I said, that's true. There are no vampires in Africa. The vampires are in America and in Europe. Here we have Ogbanje. I talk about zombies. Zombies are not here. What we have here is mommy water. I said, a lot of this is myth. Africans, you know, they have their own problems. And one last one, just a joke to make you laugh. I said, 2 different kinds of witches. The witches in America, they fly on broomsticks. Our own use wings, you know? So our witches are birds, owl. You understand my point? Bats. Those are our witches. But in America, it's a broomstick. Their own witches wear long cap, or one which is not light, they go change to vulture. Begin fly all over the place. And then when I sit down as a preacher, I start massaging people in that area. All the vultures against you. Tonight, Holy Ghost fire. Let me assure you, if I start that one, after 3 months, you that come here, number one, you won't come back again. Thank God for that. But the place will be full to capacity.